been the problem, even from the 19th century, when we took the slaves and made them stop worshiping ancestors in the trees and made them go to church. Exactly. And we have been doing this, but still something remains, Joe. And it's in your poetry, and that's what you're telling us tonight. That's why you're here.
This poem called Snail, we'll stay with some, with these little animal analogies, I guess. I'll only say one thing about the poem before I read it, which is what intrigued me about the snail was the fact that it was once a creature of the sea, which found itself kind of suddenly left behind on land and had to adapt its life to the land, but still it's very essential for it to stay in a watery environment. So the snail seemed to me to be telling us something about how in diminishment. I mean, it seems as you were saying, since the Industrial Revolution, somehow the natural world and our connection to the natural world is constantly diminishing. Nature is diminishing around us. So how do we stay in touch? That's really, I think, what the poem is about. The sea that left you here is gone, poking only the air now with your soft, minuscule feelers. You have learned to survive on the thinnest of mists, on a leaf glazed with morning, or the moist sea of evening air. Thick-footed, patient, these 100 million years or so, you still hold your last watery breath inside the deepest spiral of your ear-shaped shell, sipping one molecule at a time, your microscopic drink from the trough of a clover leaf. Yet with what gratefulness you set out each dawn past twig and pebble, headed for the great wet rock in this meadow, or poised on a shining grass blade, waiting and waiting, yet never in a hurry for the sea that abandoned you to return. Ah, patient little brother, at noon when you sleep in the last dampness left under an old leaf, keeping your perishable life safe from that alien sun, is it the faint echo of that vanished surf your heartbeat follows?
His name is Joe Salerno, and is the poet in the poem.
This is a poem that is about light. I find tremendous attraction to sunlight. You know, it makes you feel spiritual when you're just in sunlight, especially if it's towards the end of the day when the light is so, you know, so light and cool, and just seems to light everything up and make everything, leaves look transparent and whatnot. So this is called Spring Rain Clears at Evening. Sunlight touches my arms, reaching down poles of light through new leaves. Overhead, the sky is one wide hole into heaven. The wind lifts traces of sweet earth and pine. This is the light that heals even desire. Whatever questions there are linger now on the air like the fragrance of old wood. And there never was anything to know or want or dream of or understand. This is the light that heals even desire. This is the true light that can shine through a human hand. This is what it would be like to live as a cell high up in one of those high rises there in the green city of leaf blades.
What makes that whole poem is the pivotal line, "And there never was."
Yeah.
I don't know how you got that, but to use that, does that begin a stanza?
I think it ends a stanza, actually. There never was anything to know or
want. And there never was, and then you go to the next stanza, and there never was anything to know
or want.
So anything to know is in the following stanza.
Actually, anything to know or want or dream of is all one line, but it's part of one stanza.
That is a very important line. Were you aware of that?
Well, actually, yes, I think so, because those lines came from another poem that didn't quite work.
Ah, and they were important.
So I went and ransacked
Good lesson.
Those lines and brought them into this poem.
Best lesson you could give young poets.
Well, that's why it's never a waste to sit down and write a bad poem.
Never.
You always have... I mean, sometimes you really need to go and ransack some old stuff that you wrote a year ago to try to help you finish writing something that you're working on now. And it's nice to have those poems that didn't work out so that you can go and use them at some point, a little storehouse.
Whatever you
images.
Work on now works for you later.
Exactly.
Continue.
Exactly. Well, I'll read a companion poem to this. It's called "Nobody Knows the Answer to This Poem." Why is it sometimes just towards evening, when the sun is a sweet, cool light over what seems like the world, and maybe it's mid-spring and the trees are green in a way they will be for only 2 or 3 weeks in the year, suddenly all your doubts about existence vanish for an instant, lifted away by this powerful light, and everything, whatever is part of your life, your wife and your children, the shoes you are wearing, the garage full of junk, the roof of your house, your hands, seems blessed, though nothing in your life has changed, but there's this light you are part of now, this light making everything perfect, and all of your griefs and despairs are tinged with this beautiful light, so that all you have suffered and all you will suffer, even your mother's death from cancer, or your own death to come, and the death of your wife and children, seems perfect, and the light shines right through your chest and into your heart, leaving only this happiness for a wound. And so the question is, what is it about this kind of light that makes it do this?
Only happiness is a wound? Oh!
Yeah, see, now that was a fortunate... That was a very late addition to the poem. I went through a whole bunch of images, a sword of light. I was trying all these things. But when I came up with this happiness for a wound, because it is a wound and it is happy. I mean, you feel the wound of life as well as the, I don't know, it's kind
just
of
just the word wound itself sounded like I'd never heard it before.
Well,
just using it that way made it new.
Wound of this happiness. For
that's
a wound,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. The that's fact that you used happiness for the wound made wound the first time.
That's one of those happy coincidences.
We never did get to a long poem. Did I scare you?
Well.
But we'll just go along the way we're going along.
Okay. Well, I do have some poems about New Jersey. Some of the things I've been working on recently have been, I guess, in the vein of William Carlos Williams. I thought maybe I'd read one of those.
Okay.
It's called "Waking Up in New Jersey." And
you're going to give New Jersey a good reputation if you're not careful.
Well, maybe not with this poem. I love New Jersey, but it does have its particular character. "Waking Up in New Jersey." It's a small world waking up in New Jersey. Predictable mornings of the gas going poof under coffee, the electric buzz of the razor over the sink. There's something here, we can suppose, for those who thrive on the stout poetics of industrial parks and pizzerias, devouring mystical bagels in the morning light. But somewhere, someone gets up, who warms himself first with a little silence, reading the legible sunshine at the foot of the bed, and listens intent to the luxury of crows through the autumn window. Let's call him then a window thinker instead of a poet, a historian of silence who broods over the lavish asphalt unwinding the map to a tragic victory, the backyard strewn with clothespins of a lost romance. And it's too late, he knows, to change much of it now, looking each morning for a place to be happy in a wilderness the shopping carts conquered long ago. So he treasures the sunlight on the side of the house and the weed left behind with its shadow, and he sounds nonetheless each morning his little trumpet of sorrow. A little elegy there for New Jersey, I suppose.
We can either have a long final poem or half a long final poem and another final poem.
Well, I guess let's do the long final poem.
What is it?
This is called In the Heaven of Obscurity. And I've appended an epigraph to it so that people would understand it. Anyway, the epigraph is from Andy Warhol's famous phrase about in the future everyone will be famous for 15 minutes. Well, this is in heaven, no one will be famous, not even for 15 minutes. Sure, it's quiet, but it's paradise nonetheless. Look around, there's all this room to stretch out, relax, watch a little television. There are no obstacles here, as you can see, nothing to overcome if you don't want to. No public clamoring for an encore, no one pounding on your door shouting, "Five more minutes, Mr. Famous." Over there on the table, there's whiskey and dates and rich dark chocolate all for you. Help yourself right now if you want. Or just sit back, take your glasses off, and rub the bridge of your nose before laying your head back on this soft pillow. There's all the time in the world now for nothing to happen. If you listen closely, you can hear the faint singing of gnats as you fall asleep. Or if you'd rather, step outside and walk around. The view is wonderful. Miles and miles of wind and dry grass with a little sunlight and shadow to amuse you. Go ahead. The walkway through the yard was swept just yesterday. And to the west, way back beyond the distant grove of maples, way back, right on the horizon, barely visible in blue haze, is a hilltop of sorts where your only neighbor, a Buddhist monk, spends the whole day whittling sticks into tiny rabbits. Who knows? Maybe in 100 years you could journey there and introduce yourself. But for now, no one even knows you're alive. Well, it'll be getting dark soon, and you'll have the entire night to yourself. Of course, there's plenty of beer in the refrigerator and nachos with chili peppers. The moon will be beautiful as always, coming up over the silhouette of the distant trees just before the immense appearance of the stars. And, oh yes, I almost forgot, there's pencils in the drawer and paper if you care to write something. Finally, when you're inside, keep the window by the reading chair open. In fall, you'll enjoy the tarnished air scented with decaying leaves. And in winter, that branch there sways so gently, you'll want to cry. In summer, try listening to the inaudible tick of sunlight on the old wood of the house or the occasional late shower in the afternoons. And at night, when it's windy, there's the weeds that bend and rustle and do not whisper your name.
I did not know that poem. It is a perfect combination of the eternal and the actual in your life. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The program is The Poet and the Poem. It's a very rare and pleasurable moment when we can be brought at home with ourselves through another poet. And I'm pretty much at home right now. The program is The Poet and the Poem. Joe Salerno is our poet from New Jersey. I am Grace Cavalieri, and our engineer is Sam Woodson, and we are glad. The city is Washington. The station is WPFW in Washington.
We would like to thank the following businesses for...